The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, flock, welcome to 3 In, 3 Out. We are revisiting that tough loss to our division rivals, the Rams. Rams move on to 9-1. The Seahawks fall to 4-5. We'll get into it. It's another one of those games where it's kind of this whole season just feels like we're on the cusp of being a really, really good team, and yet we can't beat any really good teams. Something's not jiving right there. Let's dive into it on this week's 3 In, 3 Out. Okay, if you frequent 3 In, 3 Out, and I hope you do, maybe it's your first time here, the kind of secret sauce of 3 In, 3 Out is that we go a little bit deeper than the surface level analysis, and we try to find three things that we really loved about our game and three things that had us scratching our heads and, you know, just making us feel all yucky about what transpired on the field. And I keep a ledger. So during the game, I keep a little in and out ledger, and I keep it on, you know, classic notepad. It's actually a Seahawks notepad, of course. Why would it be anything else? And this game, you know, I look back and we scored 31 points, right? And we lose another tough game. And it's funny, I'm having a hard time finding three ins in a game where we score 31. I'm having a hard time finding three ins. And yet, the out ledger, I'm having a hard time deciding which out is more deserving than the other out. Maybe it's a simple exercise, but that is kind of proof in the pudding as to why we probably lost this game. So we have a saying on 3 In, 3 Out, when we win, we start with an in, and of course, we lost, so let's get into an out. Let's start it right now. All right, so it's 17-14 Rams. There's about 50 seconds left to go in the second quarter. We are moving the ball. We are crossing over midfield, and I believe now we're into Rams territory. I have to go back and watch it specifically, but tight window this week with the Thursday game coming up, so I just want to get this done and get it out to you, get it out to the flock. And that next series, where first down, run to Penny, 50 seconds to go. Man, could not hate that call more. I understand we were having success running the ball. I get that. At some point, and that would have been a damn good point, play action pass, be aggressive, get the ball downfield, get vertical, something we really just did not do all that much, especially in the first half. I think Russ had, what, 8 passes in the first half? Kind of nutso, right? So I hated that first and 10 run to Penny, and then it put us in a poor position, and then it was 3rd and 7, and we tried this little low percentage floater out to Davis. Defender makes a pretty good play. Davis can't haul it in, and all of a sudden, we're punting again. To me, it was just this feeling of we were already mentally settling for a field goal. So when I see that, well, the offense put up 31, and 31 should be enough to beat the Rams, you know, newsflash, 31 points is not enough to beat the 2018 Rams. You need 35, 38, 41, 52, 104, 208, and I can't do the math anymore. But 31 points is not enough to beat this year's Rams. 17-14, you got the ball, you're driving it down their throats, you've got to be more aggressive in that specific spot. Hated the Penny run, hated that entire series, and we get no points. And guess what? Guess what we have to do to start the next half? We got to give the ball back to the Rams. Could not have hated that more. Can't play for field goals. Need more than 31. Don't tell me you can't blame the play calling, because you absolutely can. Yes, we scored 31. We needed to score 38. There were some things to like about this game. And you know what? You know who had a really sharp game? You know who just looked that part of some dude you extend in the offseason? And some people are like, is that guy worth his money? Well, here's a little hint. It rhymes with Rocket. Tyler Lockett had a day. Now, again, on 3 In, 3 Out, we don't want to look at the overarching day. He had a nice day. The thing with Tyler, I feel like, is that if you got that guy, if you got that dude his touches. And I'm talking like 10 targets per game, 12 targets per game, 14 touches per game where he's run the ball two or three times as well. To me, I think Lockett is easily a 1,000-yard receiver, 10-plus touchdowns, 12-plus touchdowns. He's probably going to get there anyway this year with touchdowns. He's having a really, really efficient and productive year. But this is 3-3 out, so let's get hyper-focused on one play. And that play is that little end-around. Wasn't a jet sweep, but he comes in motion, and he gets a little toss end-around. And then he does a couple of special things, which special players do. So in the midst of a face mask, he breaks free of that. It was early in the game, if you remember this play. And then he gets upfield really quickly. You could tell that Lockett is healthy once again. And the way that I look at that is like, he kind of goes from zero to Tyler in really no time flat, in like 4 yards flat, 5 yards flat. He just gets upfield with a ton of speed and momentum. And then as one of the DBs approaches, might have been a linebacker, I think it was a DB, he does the old man and B move. He hits a spin that is so smooth, so on point, the dude doesn't even come close to touching him. And Lockett goes upfield for another, I don't know, additional 6, 7, 8 yards, whatever the total was. I'm just highlighting this microcosm of what Tyler Lockett is. Tyler Lockett is a very, very dynamic player. This is just one of those guys, man, that if we're going to be a bit more aggressive on offense, and we've seen it. It's not like we haven't seen it. We've seen the jet sweeps this year. We've seen Lockett have really good production on what are limited touches. Not unlimited, right? Maybe what we need, just thinking through this, maybe what we need is unlimited Lockett. Why don't we release the harnesses on Lockett and see what this man can do? So I'm calling for that. Rest of the year, come on. Why don't we, I mean, we're playing Green Bay. Green Bay on Thursday. Green Bay's going to score some points, right? Why don't we unleash unlimited Lockett? See what happens. All right, Flock, hopping on over to a second out. This one is for a player that I would say I'd have to go back and look. We've been doing 3-3 out for something like three plus seasons now, I believe. And I have to go back and look and say, has this guy ever had an out, on this time with the Seahawks? So A, you know it's a veteran, and B, you know it's a darn good player. Without further ado, I'm giving this out to KJ Wright, which, that feels like KJ wrong. Does not feel good. Not good. But so here's the thing. Maybe he was just hurt. You know, we saw all week long that he might be a go. He might not be a go. KJ just did not look like KJ. So a couple different occasions where we saw some missed tackles by KJ, saw him kind of lost in space. Now, I get it. Nobody has figured out this Rams offense, and Tony Romo was literally drooling the entire time in the booth talking about how simple yet how tough and creative this offense is. And listen, I believe Romo. Romo knows what he's talking about. And you see it. You see them come out with the same formation and give you 6, 7 different looks from that same exact formation. Highly, highly hard to just, act against that. But KJ just looked a little lost. I mean, I'm not sure. Didn't he? Did he to you? I have to ask you, Flock. Did he to you? There were a couple times where KJ was flat, turned around, like where we saw number 50 and his name, staring back at the screen when a pass was going out over the middle. So the middle was wide open all day long. That's not going to be Wright's fault all the time, of course. But Wright was just, he seemed a bit lost out there. So between what seemed to me like some missed tackles and just lots of softness in the middle, the long and the short of it for this out is I just didn't feel that Wright had his best game. Tough, tough assignments across the board. Of course, I'm going to chalk this one up and simply say that I don't think Wright was all that healthy. He got out there, he played, and you know what? I don't think it was his best game. So given Wright the out, let's move on to another in. If you don't know, now you know that 3-3 out is written and recorded and distributed exclusively for the Seahawkers podcast right there. If you are not listening to this podcast, it is the best Seahawks podcast out there. Go to getintheflock.com, find them on iOS, find them on Android, find them everywhere. Listen to this podcast because it's the best one out there. All right, go Hawks. Okay, second end of this game. This one had me feeling pretty good. Now, here's the deal. We know Russ missed some open receivers again, okay? That was frustrating, right? He missed more. I think that was in the third quarter, kind of skipped it to him. By the way, Moore had a chance at that ball. Not a great ball, but Moore had a chance at it. Very low. Would have been a great catch. Just flat out missed him there. And of course, that last play of the game, we've seen Russ do it so many times with the screwball plays that we've come to expect success there. When that ball sailed over Lockett's head, we all just kind of sunk, right? We saw Carroll's reaction. I think we all felt that same way. Go, man, you got to hit him. You got to hit that guy. But we are talking about it in, and we are talking about Russ. So what was the part of Russ's game that all of a sudden re-emerged, re-blossomed, reinvigorated our offense quite a bit? It was Russ's legs. I mean, man, how good was it to see two things in particular? Didn't do much of it in the first half, came out and did in the second half, but Russ keep the ball on some read options. Those were highly successful. I think the worst one I saw was for 5 yards. Most of them went for 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 yards, where Russ does that little extendo thing, saying like, hey, you want a ham sandwich? As he puts the ball over and he gets that first down. We saw that quite a bit. And then we saw Russ just take off a couple times, you know, multiple times. And it just felt like when he does that, the offense has more rhythm. The offense has more explodability, if you will. And it just keeps these teams honest. Now, one has to wonder, this was the 9th Seahawks game of the year, week 10, game 9 for the Seahawks. Was Russ's hammy banged up? I mean, I don't know. He doesn't look slower or faster or any of those things. He just looks like Russ. Did he just finally decide, hey, I'm doing it this game. We need to do this in this game. Has he been coached throughout the year? Don't take off as much, you know, stay more in the pocket. I'm unsure. I don't know what's what. I don't have the answer there. What I do know is that our offense is better when the threat of Russ taking off for what was his average. Somebody please go look it up. He must have averaged around 8 yards per carry, 7 yards per carry, something like that, right? Our offense is better with the threat of Russell Wilson recognizing things and being able to take off when he sees them. So to me, a bit of a frustrating game back and forth when it comes to Russ, but still, the in goes to his ability to make plays with his feet. It felt more natural. It felt more like our team when you see Russ doing these things. And I like what it bodes for the rest of the year. Now let's see if we can do that. Again, we got a game coming up Thursday night. So let's see if we could take advantage of this and see if this is a new emerging pattern for 2018. If it is, I think we're going to have a strong finish to the season. I know we got some wood to chop. Flock, like I said earlier, there's more on my outside of the ledger than there is on the in. I've been through the two ins that I starred. The next one's going to be, I think a little mediocre, to be honest. But the outs, man, the outs, I've got some beefy ones I could choose from. I know lots of folks are going to talk about our inability to get off the field on third and long. I mean, it just crushed us. Happened in the second quarter, happened in, I think it was the start of the fourth quarter. I mean, just so frustrating. So I know others are going to talk about the inability to get off the field on third and long. So I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go right to that third and three play. I think the score is 29-24 at that point. Dustin Mock of the Seahawks podcast captured it real nicely and shared his thoughts on this too. I go back to the idea that they're like, well, we scored 31 points, so you can't blame the play calling. You know what? Here we go again. We get the ball. We're starting at our 25-yard line. We run, you know, I think there was a rush scramble for like 3, and then there was like a penny run for 4, and it's 3rd and 3. We're at our 32-yard line. We got the ball. We're down 5. We actually did kind of what we had to do, right? I think at 26-24, we do the onside kick. People, you know, there's some back and forth with, okay, good time, bad time, you know, and all that jazz. And, you know, we do what we got to do on defense. We held them to a field goal and we got the ball back quickly. So, you know, say what you will about the onside kick and whether it was maybe a good decision, bad decision, it kind of worked. We've held them to 3 and we got the ball back quickly. So there we are, 29-24, 3rd and 3. And what do we see? What do we see us do? We see Seattle go into a spread, you know, open, no backfield, right? And it just the tension starts rising, going like, man, really? Like, we're hoping. I'm hoping there. Is someone going to come in motion? Is somebody going to come back? I think they had, it was either Davis or Penny. I think it was Penny out to the right flanked out to the right, and they're highlighting him, and Romo's like, oh, he's out here. I'm like, dude, don't throw it to a running back on the outside. So I'm waiting for motion to bring him back in. No such luck. Third and three. And what happens? So the out is part that play call. Man, I want this team to have the identity, like, all game long and all year long, we're supposed to be this running team, right? And I know third and three, there's no guarantees, but the things that Russ is doing in this game too, man, we're right there. That to me screams read option. We're getting good yardage on the ground. Russ is making plays with his feet, and we just don't even get that opportunity. We go five wide. I think it was five wide. And then to compound that, I mean, Dwayne Brown just gets beat. I mean, we didn't really hear much from Fowler throughout the game, you know, the newly acquired Ram, but all of a sudden, in the biggest spot, the biggest situation of the game, Brown just gets beat man-to-man, one-to-one. Fowler gets around the edge quickly. Russ has no shot, can't step up, can't do nothing, fumbles the ball. We know what happens there. Rams get it. Rams score a couple plays later. And it wasn't over quite yet, but that was a bit of a dagger. All right, Flock. So I've been saying throughout that I've had like kind of a thin layer of ins, even though we scored 31 and a real hefty side of the out ledger. So we'll keep this one super succinct here. The in simply goes to Dixon. Dixon changes field position over and over and over again. We want to call out one specific one? Sure. Oh, I don't know. How about a 68-yard punt when he had a Rams dude like basically in his groin, basically right at his feet, diving in, booming 68-yard punt. I think it was in the first half. Completely flips field position. Good coverage by the Seahawks. Good job there for sure. But man, this dude, was he a fifth rounder? People were mocking, like, how do you draft a punter in the fifth rounder? You know what? That's why. That's exactly why. Dixon is that important. We are a team on the cusp of being really good. Again, going back to that opener, we're like a really good team who can't seem to beat really good teams, which, by the way, is a mark of a not so really good team. But Dixon is a big time game changer. He flips the script over and over and over again. Hey, if you want to single one out, that in to Dixon, that 68-yard punt, that's insane. That is just insane. All right, as we said earlier, if you are not listening to, if you are not subscribing to, if you are not involved with the Seahawkers podcast, you need to do better. One of the things that the Seahawkers podcast does amazingly well is they have a great community, specifically the Seahawkers podcast Ring of Honor. It's such a cool group to watch the game with week in, week out. And of course, those on Twitter as well. So each week we say, hey, send us your ins, send us your outs, hashtag it 3i30, and we'll put you in the show. So let's get to it now. Let's get to my favorite section every single week because it comes from you. I don't got to do anything except for clip it out and just show it to you. This is From the Flock. Good work. All right, what's the best remedy for losing a tough game? Anybody know? I have an answer. It's when you play a game like 3 days later. I'm recording this Monday morning. I'll be on a flight down to Dallas tomorrow. I'll edit this on the flight. I love editing on flights. Tons of fun. Pass the time. Love doing it. So I'll be editing this on the flight down to Dallas. And then blammo, Thursday night comes up and we're playing the Packers. All right, the really kind of neat part about this season is that we keep finding ourselves in what are these kind of playoff games. This game, Seahawks-Packers, Thursday Night Football, it's a playoff game. It's actually the way I look at it, it's actually an elimination game, I think, for both teams. Look at the records, look at the rest of the NFC and what's going on around them, and you got to figure out those wild card spots that you could possibly jockey for. Now, I know 4-5 is, you know, that's some tough slaying. I know we have a difficult schedule. We got Panthers, Chiefs, Packers, Vikings. That ain't easy. But you know what? The easiest way to get over a tough loss is to play a couple days later, to play at home, and go get a W. This is an elimination game, and that's kind of cool. You know, what else can we want as fans? Obviously, we want to win. I understand that. But this is going to be kind of neat. So let's go get that W. Come on, we're home. Let us just minimize Rodgers and win this game and keep this season going because we're right there. I think every single Seahawks fan feels like, you know what? We are right there and this team can make a run. We know we can play with the best out there. All right, let's get to it. Have some fun on Thursday night. And of course, go Hawks.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.